Tina Koumouriadis. Hi, Tina.
Listen, Declan, even when I was young, I wasn't terribly into the nightclub scene because I'm not really a drinker, so you know, it never really did anything for me. I like to dance a bit, but a bit like yourself, I think those days are long gone.
And those nights too.
Yes, they are. But they get you, those pubs or clubs that have to sell mocktails or 0.0 beer, they certainly wouldn't stay open for sparkling water. They need to make money if they're, and I suppose they have to pay people extra to stay on after midnight.
That's another consideration.
You know, they'd need to make their money. Otherwise, what's the point for them?
These low alcohol and 0.0, they seem to be becoming very popular. So maybe that's the solution.
Yeah, I must say, I've had a couple of low alcohol and I found them very pleasant. You know, I didn't know. Well, but then I'm not a drinker, so I didn't notice any difference.
Yeah, they haven't mastered the wine yet. That's the thing.
I'm not a wine drinker. But my daughter is, and she says they're putrid. So yes, right.
Okay, well, Tina Koumouriadis is here, Agony Aunt from Rathdrum, and we've got some, you know, some tales here for you to come to the rescue of many people. Here's the first one. Hi, Tina. I hope you're good. I have a situation that I would like your insight on. I'm a 34-year-old builder, and I priced a job for a lovely woman in her mid to late 50s recently, which went great, and scheduled the work to be completed. I found her very attractive, which I told her, and she was very pleased and gave the same compliment back. Then a week later, she texts me asking me if I wanted to meet for a walk and then a movie in the house later. I scheduled to go on a date on the Saturday, but had to cancel at the very last minute because of a serious family problem, but I didn't elaborate. She said that was fine, and I asked her if we could reschedule during the week. I asked her if she would be available on Wednesday evening, but she didn't reply for a day, then got back being a lot more cold and said she should have never contacted me like that and wished me good luck. I had replied saying I understand but was disappointed as I was looking forward to meeting her, which I got no reply. Is it just a case she got cold feet with it all or something else? Also, she sent me a 50% of the price of the job, which I still have, but I don't even know now if she wants the work done. Any help? Much appreciated. Thank you.
Yes, actually, this guy got back to me a couple of times since, so I know why he cancelled, and it was a totally legitimate reason. You know, he didn't have an option on that one. But firstly, I think if the date had gone ahead, everything would have been just fine. But the fact that you unfortunately had to cancel may have put a doubt in her mind as to whether you were having second thoughts or had got a last-minute better offer. Women, especially if they're older than their date, can suffer from a little bit of low self-esteem, as she had initiated the date, probably not something she would normally do, and then you had cancelled, even though you suggested another time. It just left that nagging doubt. You have nothing to lose by either contacting her directly by phone or, I think better still, by texting her so that she can read and reread your message, which I often think is better, as when we're caught on the hot, not a lot of the conversation goes in. Explain to her that you really, really are sorry you had to cancel Saturday, but it was a very important family matter. It's certainly not something you would do normally, as you wouldn't like it done to yourself. Tell her you really felt at ease in her company. You find her extremely attractive and you would love the chance to get to know her better. No pressure. Coffee, lunch, dinner, whatever would suit her best, where you could sit, have a chat and get to know each other, as you really felt there was some connection there. Tell her you are really very sorry you offended her by cancelling. And if she feels uncomfortable about meeting for a date, you perfectly understand and you won't bother her again. However, you do still have her money, which you will need to return, or if she's happy to go ahead with the work, so are you. Again, no pressure, whatever suits her best. I'm afraid after that it's up to her how this goes. I hope she's sensible enough to make the leap. It's not every day a younger man who you find very attractive asks you out.
Now, what's your good feeling on this? What about the age difference?
you're asking the wrong person. I've had a couple of, no, I shouldn't say I've enjoyed the company of a couple of much younger gentlemen in the past, and they were very interesting. They were, yes, I don't find a problem with that age difference.
Longevity in relationships like that?
I don't know. There was just something. It wasn't sort of the same old that you get with somebody of your own age or older who've, you know, been down the track a few times. These young fellows are a lot more sort of, well, I think they're a lot more gamey. They're a lot more appreciative. And some of them really, really, really do like an older woman. So back in the day, yes, I found it very enjoyable, but I've hung up my dancing shoes, so to speak. I'm staying vertical from now on, Declan. Not right. Horizontal.
One last question. Maturity, does that play a part in I suppose it's the difference in the age group, how long it is or whatever like that, but, you know.
Well, think of Mrs. Robinson. You see, older people, they have all the same problems. You have mortgages, houses, kids, well, whatever. But these young guys, I mean, we don't think twice about older men with younger women. You think, oh, geez, good lad, you know, this, that and the other. But for some reason, an older woman with a younger man has always been frowned on. Yeah. And yet, depending on the lady, I mean, we think of older women and we automatically think of some old dear in a, you know, her rocking chair. But there are some very, very gamey older women out there. Stop looking at me like that, Declan. there are some gamey women out there. And why not? I mean, Jesus, try everything once you're dead a long time.
All right. That answers comprehensively the question.
It does.
Very good. Okay. It's Tina Kumariadis. Who else?
Would be that honest.
All right. Now, another one. Dear Tina, I've been excluded from my grandchildren's birthday parties for 10 years. I'm not wanted in my son's house because his wife doesn't like me. She made it clear I was not welcome with very antagonistic...
Antagonistic body language.
I'm being criticised when I babysit the children in my house. I'm being pulled up about every little thing that she finds fault in for the sake of complaining. She gets my son onto me to give out. She puts me down in front of the children saying, my house is smelly and I'm mad. I have supported my son and wife financially a lot and in bringing the children for days out. And I put a lot of time and energy into them when they come to stay over. I pulled my son up on the criticism last year and he would not accept that anything was going on. It stopped for a while, but it's starting up again lately. I feel terrible about it. I don't want to mind the children because I'm walking on eggshells with my daughter-in-law. There is a lot of addiction in our family and hers, but I feel that the put-downs and exclusion is bullying. I don't know what action to take to put an end to it. I love my son and the grandkids. I love having the grandkids stay overnight, but I'm not appreciated by my daughter-in-law.
Yeah, this lady was very, very upset. But before I start, I know how I'd feel if it was me, but before I start, you have to be totally honest with yourself. Think carefully. Is there anything that happened in the past that made things end up the way they have? And if so, is there any way to mend them? If you have really done nothing wrong, then you are rewarding very, very bad behaviour by continuing to be their maidservant. I'm most disappointed in your son for not standing up for you and for telling you off because his wife tells him to do so. How dare either of them reprimand you, their senior, who is only trying to help them? You're his mother. I know that what I would do to my daughter if she did that to me, and I tell you, it wouldn't be pretty. I do know you love your son, but he's being a complete wimp in not standing up for you. You are his mother, who is daily being abused by his bullying wife. He's not showing you the love, affection, and respect a good, caring mother deserves. To be blunt, he needs to grow a pair. Now, you're not invited to your grandchildren's birthday parties, which is so very sad. It's not You know, that's your son's fault as well as his wife's, whether you like it or not. You're expected to be on hand when called for, and yet have none of the niceties associated with being a grandmother. Your daughter-in-law sounds like a complete wagon. She says your house is smelly and you're mad. Tell her that you're sorry she feels that way, and as such, you wouldn't dream of your grandchildren going to your house anymore. Either she collects you from your house when you look after her children in their house, or she'll have to find alternative babysitting arrangements. See how long she manages without having you to call on to dump her children on. Tell your son how, having helped them both financially and with babysitting, you feel abused and most certainly not appreciated. That as his mother, you're sadly disappointed in him. You hope he never has to endure such hostility from one of his own children, because it's actually devastating. Tell him from now on, only if things change dramatically, you will take your grandchildren on outings. You will not have your own home abused by his wife. He may find her fascinating, but he's on his own. You find her cruel and ignorant, and you won't put up with her any longer. Ask him, does he realize that his children will grow up to think it's the norm to abuse and be unkind to others, and that they will more than likely end up with no friends if they act like her, especially since they see him condoning her behavior. Do you have any other children? And if so, what do they think of this situation? And why haven't they spoken to their brother? Do you have any other grandchildren you could spend more time with? I know this is truly horrible and worrying situation, but the longer you let it go on, the worse it will become. Bullies thrive on making other people miserable. They are the very lowest form of life. But they're the very ones that can't take it when the tables are turned. I'm afraid you're going to have to learn to be more dominant from now on and give her some of her own treatment, or if you don't, you'll have to lie down and be treated like dirt, which you're not, and that's very important for you to remember. You are not dirt, you're doing them a favour, and they need to be more respectful of you.
She's emotionally tired, though.
That's the problem, and that daughter-in-law knows that. What's the son thinking of? You know, it's his mother. The mother seems to be, you know, financially and taking the kids out and everything, for helping them financially. I mean, what is her problem? You can't kick the golden goose. It's you'd be mad to do it. But I see she knows she can because of the grandchildren.
Yes.
It's cruel. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take a break here now as the time goes on. God, we've spent a lot of time on our
two.
Yeah, we've more to come. Okay, it's the morning show at East Coast. Tina Koumarianis. Koumarianis is with us. AskTinaK@gmail.com if you want, you know, her advice, which is
maybe they don't at this stage,
which can be tough at times. Let's see how we get on with this one. Hi, Tina. I'm 60 and thinking of retiring. I'll have a moderate pension, which I'm okay with, as I've planned out my money. My problem is I'm a bit scared of loneliness. I live alone. My husband died 15 years ago. I think I will find things to do, like a bit of volunteering and classes, etc. I'm tired of my job and feel it's time to make changes while I've got my health, etc. Probably because I'm 60 as well. But I'd miss the nice company at work and indeed the routine. Any advice?
I know exactly how you feel. Many, many years ago, I was made to retire from the company I'd been with for 18 years when I was 60. And I thought, what am I going to do with myself? Even though my sister, who's lived in San Francisco for the last 50 years, had told me time and again that I'd become institutionalized and that I really should move on to something, you know, greener pastures. The last 10 years have been the most wonderful, liberating, peaceful time. No setting alarm clocks, no sitting in traffic for hours on end, none of the 9-to-5 monotonous cycle, just freedom to do whatever I like, when I like, And when friends ask me to meet them for lunch, you can say yes without the worry of having to rush back to work after an hour. Then there's the general upsides of getting on, as they say. With a bit of luck, you have managed to squirrel away a few euros. Hopefully you're older and wiser without being a bore. You can wear bright colours, crazy clothes, dye your hair rainbow colours like me, without your parents or the office HR department policing your appearance. If you have a couple of really good friends who are available, the world's your oyster. Holidays, overnights away, I put together a breakfast club of a few ladies who didn't know each other at all. They were just random friends of mine who'd never met each other before. Some gelled, some didn't, who cares? It was just a mix of different people all having breakfast, and it was lovely to hear them all chatting away about places they knew and people they had in common. If you have a tidy towns in your area, that's a good thing to join, as it gets you out and about while improving your surroundings with fundraising events, while getting to know neighbours that you may never have met. If you're an animal lover, now that you're not working full-time, you could own a rescued animal for company or help in the local shelter. You would be amazed at the opportunities walking a dog can open up for meeting new people and striking up new friendships. And you'll never get a better welcome home than you get from a dog. Finally, at our age, there are many widowers and divorcees on the market. They may not all look like George Clooney, but they have a story to tell, and in some cases they can be quite amusing. Just don't let them move into your house if they don't have one of them their own. As my lovely wise mother always used to say about marriage and live-in lovers, very easy to get into, very difficult to get out of. Yes, they are.
Indeed. Well, this leads us to our last one.
Yes.
Which is sort of related to
it
that.
It is.
And it's making me go, but I don't want to preempt what you're going to say. Dear Tina, I'm in my 50s and I've never been married. I've been in a relationship for the last 7 months with a divorcee who seems very nice, and he's recently suggested that he move in with me. When I said that I would feel uncomfortable with that, he suggested I sell my home, which I inherited from my parents. It's quite a large house and a very nice area as well, and I would be very sorry to leave it after all these years. He said that we could pool our resources to buy a place together.
Oh, God.
Although at the moment he is only renting an apartment since his divorce, his ex-wife got the house. Mm-hmm. I can't make up my mind whether this would be a new beginning or a terrible mistake. I appreciate your thoughts.
Yeah, let me make up your mind for you. If it were me, in order not to make that terrible mistake, I would certainly, I mean really certainly not sell my home, especially not after 7 months together and with somebody who doesn't have a home of their own to sell. Your home is a big house in a very good area. No, definitely not. If things didn't work out, I can't help feeling you would really, really regret it more than you know. Far better to rent out your home for a really good return and to use some of the rental from it to rent a place together until such time as you see whether you get on well enough to invest so heavily. I'm talking a couple of years here, not 7 months. You know the old saying, if you want to get to know me, come live with me. By doing this, you're earning an income which helps towards the rental of a property, gives you extra spending money, as you will be sharing the rent. I repeat, you will be sharing the rent and all the bills. You, just because you're letting out your place, and he has no house to let out, you don't pick up the tab for the whole lot. If things go badly, you've lost nothing. He's not living in your home and therefore would have no rights over it. I may be thought of as cynical, but these days there are rather too many asset-stripped divorcees looking to move into single ladies' houses for my liking. I have seen it at first hand amongst good friends, and it's very nasty.
There's a tax implication as well. I mean, if she rents out the home, she's got to pay,
yes,
50%, we'll say, tax on that, depending on her circumstances. And she will be paying full amount on the other house that she goes in with your man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, well, she'd only be renting an apartment. I'm saying don't buy a place with him. Just rent an apartment. Live with him for a couple of years. See how you get on. You know, when you live with somebody, it's a completely different ball game to just going out and meeting for dinner and everything being lovely. She mustn't get rid of her family home.
No,
I mean,
no.
That would be the most ridiculous thing you have ever done. You have to have that place as, you know, your backstop for when things don't go right, you know. The beginning of a relationship, everybody, yes, oh, it's wonderful and it's lovely. But then it becomes, you know, a bit more mundane. And sometimes that's fine. You know, people live together for years and years and it's all lovely. But what if it doesn't work out and you've got rid of your house? He's made off with half, because if you buy a place together, half of that is his. You know, if you sell it, he walks away with half of what was originally your house. So absolutely not. You rent out, if you really want to rent out your house, put some of the money, no matter, even if you're paying half of it in tax, the rental, you still have your house. You know, yeah. And put some of the money then towards renting an apartment or something with him. See how you get on. And remember, the other sad thing is people are lovely and lovely and lovely. And then, you know, if things don't go right, it'd be very interesting to see if, you know, when you say no, he comes up with other ideas of what you should do with your home. What's he going to do about any of this? You know, I'm not hearing his side of the thing. I'm not hearing that he's got a bank account in the Cayman Islands and you're going to live a life of luxury on a yacht down there. It seems a bit one-sided. But anyway, that's up to you, but that's what I would do. Don't sell.
Okay, thanks very much indeed, Tina Koumarianis. If you want to get in touch with Tina, ask tinak@gmail.com. Very good. Will we see you next week?
Oh, you will indeed.
It'll
absolutely
be after the bank holiday. You'll be all right?
Yes, not a bother.
Good, okay.